Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn College.
Would you open God's book, please, to the 73rd Psalm? If you want an outline of the lesson, in fact, it's very important that you be able to see a Bible, if you can, because we're going to stick with Psalm 73 tonight. Would you just take a moment with me to look about you and think about what we have in this room and about how blessed we are to live in this spot of the world where there's so many Christians, people to encourage us and people of like faith. Think about it. I'm telling you what, it's not like this everywhere, but it's like this here. And we're very, very blessed. And West Huntsville Church is so blessed to have all of you here tonight. We're grateful for your presence and we appreciate you so very much. Did you ever become discouraged in your Christianity? I mean, has there ever been a time when it became very, very difficult? I had an email recently from a young Christian woman who said, "You've got to help me. I'm so discouraged in my faith. I don't know what I'm going to do." And in the letter, she was a little embarrassed about it, ashamed of it. But nonetheless, it was there. And sometimes there are passages of Scripture, and it's like this one we're going to talk about tonight, where you feel a little bit bashful about coming in and reading these things, because these are the personal thoughts of a man. I mean, something that he wouldn't just come right out and tell you, maybe. But he's going through some thought processes. And why would it be in the Bible? And the answer is because there may be other people who go through these same thought processes, face these same kinds of struggles. And it may be you or me. And so, we have tonight the discussion of the man named Asenath. You find him in other places in the Psalms. Psalm 73 through Psalm 83, all written by him. Psalm 50 is written by him. Chronicles tells us that he was one of the singers of Israel who David chose to direct the singing among the people of God. And he would do some writing of songs and psalms to be sung. And so he's a pretty important character, I guess, as they go, the lesser characters. Psalm 73 is a discussion about a crisis in his life. It's about his faith and what happened on the inside of this godly man, when he struggled about whether or not he was doing the right thing to live for God. Now, I don't know if you will ever come to this place, but if you ever do, I want Psalm 73 to be something with which you're familiar, something to which you can turn and say, "I know where I can get strength for this." Verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." I was so close to giving it up. So close to leaving my faith. So close to forfeiting the whole thing. Now he says this and my heart goes out. I want to know more about this. What happened to you? So he's going to first in this chapter give us the thoughts that brought him to worry about this or to come to this point. And then the turning point in the latter part of the chapter is where he ended up after the turning point. All right, here we go. Verse 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." So he was discouraged. I mean, there was a time when he looked at the people around him who weren't faithful to God, who didn't care a thing about serving the true God like he was trying to do. But he said, "There's a difference. I look at them and they're doing very well in life. I mean, they're not like me. I've got problems. I have troubles. They don't. Maybe I messed up. Maybe Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe all this, but look at verse 13. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Maybe the whole thing is a mistake and I'd be better off not serving Jehovah God. Wait a minute, Asaph. Wait a minute. What is it that you saw in these people that was so impressive to you? What is it that would draw you this way? The first thing, it was their prosperity. You see verse 3, the bottom of the verse, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they were rich. He wasn't looking at everybody. He was sort of handpicking some people to admire of the world. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They were rich. They were prosperous. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. But that's not all. Look at them. They're healthy and they're strong. I mean, you think about people of the world, people who are outside of Christ tonight, about whom these things could be said. You might think about sports figures, professional sports figures, and they're like this description. I mean, they got lots of money, and they're strong, and they're powerful, and they're bold. Or maybe it would be somebody in the movies or some singer, and you say, look at them. Oh, that's it. I'd like to have that life. Let's go on. Here's how healthy and strong they are. Verse 4, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Some translations, they say pangs or pains in their death. They're not sick. Look, they're always so healthy and strong. Look at them. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. They're not ever threatened. Violence covereth them as a garment. You better not mess with them. Somebody's going to hurt you. I mean, they've got power. They've got money. They're in great health. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Prosperous, healthy, strong, but that's not all. Look at verse 8. They're bold and they're popular. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Listen to them. You ever known anybody that was just really worldly? Maybe they'd use God's name in vain. Perhaps they would curse. I had a friend one time when I was in junior high school, and when we'd be alone somewhere, he'd just curse. I'd say, I wish you would. Why do you talk like that? And he said, I just can't help it. I just can't. It's just a habit. I can't help it. It was the funniest thing. We'd get around his mom or his daddy, around the elders, the preacher, you know, and he could help it. We'd get around them. Well, that, something about his vocabulary would change. But here are people who just speak loftily. They don't care how they talk. They don't care how they talk about the Lord or about the church. In fact, they look down on people who are Christians. They look down on people who you feel a little uncomfortable talking about things of God around them because they're so strong, they're so healthy, they're so prosperous, and they don't care anything about God. And you do. And so Asaph says, you know what? Maybe I messed up. I mean, maybe I'd be better off living like them. They just are so impressive, and I'm not. Look at me. Verse 10. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. I take this to mean that they have employees. His people. He has servants. He has people who follow him around, who do what he wants to. I'd like to be like that. I'd like to have people to serve me like that. And waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They just make more and more. They prosper more and more. Behold, these are the ungodly, verse 12, who prosper in the world and they increase in riches. Now listen to me. One of the mistakes that he's making here is that he's taking this moment of time and he's judging God by it. Be very careful about that in your life. It's almost like judging God and the character of God by the weather. Huh? So what if you decided that the way you'll determine the character of God is by the weather? Well, it depends on what day you pick. You pick a day like today and you'd say, God is a generous, benevolent God. What a beautiful day we've had. Sunny skies, comfortable temperature. I was in Jackson, Cindy and I were in Jackson, Tennessee last Tuesday night. You know, the tornadoes hit there. I mean, it was a frightening night. And if you, what if you picked that 30 minutes, that hour of time, and by the weather, you were going to judge the kind of character God had? You'd say, He's not a benevolent kind God. He's an angry God. But you're not going to do that because you know that's not reasonable. It wouldn't be reasonable to judge God that way. Well, what about this way? Suppose I am a Christian and I judge God's character by how things are happening today. Am I prospering today? Am I healthy today? Are things going my way today? If they're not, surely it must say something about God. What if Joseph had used logic like that? You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. How do you reckon it felt when he was being dragged away by that rope and he said to his brothers, you can't mean this. You can't mean that you're going to really sell me. And there he is, being sold as a slave. How did it feel the first night as a slave, huh? How do you reckon it felt? Being in slave quarters for the first time in his life. I mean, going from the riches of his daddy's house and now he's a slave. How do you think it felt the first night when he was in that prison? Hey, Joseph, go on, walk up to him. Joseph, where's your God now? Huh? I thought God loved you. I thought God was real. Where's your God now? And suppose Joseph judges God by this moment in time. What happens to his faith? But you know the truth. You know that God was still there. God still loved him. And God had great plans for Joseph. There was a time when Moses was running for his life. He was so surely he felt all alone. But what was before him? He didn't know it, but you do. What was before him was the burning bush, and God had great plans for him. You're going to deliver the people of Israel from bondage. It was so important, but there was that moment in time when it must have been very... There was a time in Acts chapter 12 when James and Peter were in Herod's prison, and James was beheaded. I'm telling you, it has never been the case that Christians were immune from suffering. It's never been the case that God's people were immune from the problems of this life. But I tell you what is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Listen to me. You say, I'm facing trials in life. What does that say about God? You be careful right now. You're treading on some real thin ice when you start talking like that. That's where this man was. Asaph was there. And he was giving up. Look how I am right now. Look at my life right now. Look at the wicked, how well they're doing. And he takes this snapshot of the moment, and he's going to judge God like that. 1 Corinthians 10 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. That is to say, don't think you're the only one who faces this. You're facing this because you're part of mankind. You say, why me? Why not you? You're a human being, aren't you? But the next part of the verse says this. You listen to me. But God is faithful. Don't think because I faced hard days that indicates God is not faithful. God is faithful. In John 10 and verse 30, the Bible says that, you know, even the hairs of your head are numbered. You say, why does it say that? What difference does it make? How many hairs are on my head? Why does that matter? Why would the Bible say that? And the answer is, the point that I'm making right now, God knows you. So personally, God knows everything about you. God knows you better than you know you. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, the disciples were with Jesus, but a bunch of them walked away from Jesus. They listened to what he was teaching and they didn't like it. And some of them, and Jesus stood there and watched a number of his disciples just say, forget it. Couldn't handle the teaching. Couldn't handle the truth. And those closest to him, the disciples closest to him, and Jesus looked at them, and there's this moment when he says, would you also go away? Peter said, and I want you to listen to this because this is so important for your life and for mine. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Back to the text. Verse 13, here's where he landed. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And there's one more thing. I can't tell people this. If I talk about this to the people who are my brothers and sisters in God, they're not going to appreciate this. Who can I talk to about this? If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. Now, here's the turning point. All right. If we had to stop here, it would leave us pretty empty, wouldn't it? I mean, what happens to him now? Where does he go after this? And where do I go when I get to this point? What's the answer for this? Verse 16. When I thought to know this, when I tried to hold on to this idea, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. The word sanctuary there just means the worship place of God. So what does worship have to do with this turning point? I mean, what is it about worship that would bring a man to recognize what is really true in this life? Oh, that's not so hard, is it? I mean, you think about singing like we've done tonight. And I tell you what, if you'll think about what you're singing, if you'll put yourself into that, it'll stir your soul to love God more. Think about the songs we sang tonight. And what about prayer? Especially private prayer, personal prayer. Sometimes, you know, of course it's common in our worship to have someone lead prayer, but that's what he's doing. I'm praying with him. And it's very common for me to pray during worship. Do you do that? Sometimes eating the Lord's Supper. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 28, to examine ourselves. And it's not uncommon for me to pray during, oh, Father, look at me. I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for the cross. And when you, in private prayer, nobody ever play acts, you know. Nobody ever makes a facade with private prayer. You come before God as you are, and there's something about that that brings us so close to Him. And when I hear the law preached, when I hear the law of God preached, it helps me to focus on the fact that this life is not all that there is, and that there's a life after this one. Look, there's a whole world beyond this one where you and I will one day go in a place of bliss or a place of torment. That's out there. And I hear the preaching of the law, and it makes me recognize that I have a deadline. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after that the judgment. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or evil. And I'm going to face that deadline. And hearing the preaching of the law helps me with that. And opening up the revelation of God. You ever think about what it's going to be like to leave this life for the next? And the answer is yes. Of course you have. You ever think about, and I don't want to be pessimistic, I just want to be realistic. You ever think about dying? Yeah, we all thought about that. Where are you going to go for answers about life beyond this one? I mean, you want answers. You want answers. That's human nature. And I know it's true about everybody in this room. We want answers. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? There's only one source, you know, for answers about life beyond this one. And that is in the revelation of God. And so, he says, this was too painful for me. Maybe I was thinking this. Maybe I washed my hands in innocence. Maybe I've done all this in vain. Maybe I could follow the world's way instead of God's way. But then he said, but then I went into the sanctuary of God and everything changed. So you watch things get into focus. What's the real focus? Where's the real truth? Verse 18. Are you ready? Because now it's flipping over. Surely thou didst set them, the ones we've been talking about that he admired and envied, in slippery places. That is to say, I see their fame, I see their power, I see their wealth, I see the prestige of all of that. But you know what? Life is short. I mean, at its very best, life is so very brief, isn't it? The truth is that if I'm away from God, the only thing between me and torment is the beat of my heart. You know what you call that? You say it's a slippery place. I don't want to live a single day of my life not being a Christian. What about you? I don't want there to be a day, a moment when I walk on the gamble, this slippery place that's described here by Asaph. Here's the truth, he said. I went to worship and then I recognized it. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. It can happen any time. They're utterly consumed with terrors. It doesn't look like that now. I see them and I admire them and I'm impressed by them because they're so powerful. They're so wealthy. They're so healthy. They're so admired. But they're away from God. It isn't going to last, you know. It isn't going to last. It's almost verse 20, like a dream. When one awaketh, this position they hold that we think is so important. You know, it's almost like a dream in the sense that it only exists for a little while and then it's gone. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. I think that's so interesting. Because all that we've been talking about in the first part of the chapter is their image. And sometimes people today are so concerned about their image. And I want to have the look. And I want to have this worldly prestige. I want to have the image. Right? What does it mean to God? You see, God doesn't judge you by the standards that the world uses. And aren't you thankful? What if He did? What if you think about the world standards? How does the world judge people? By how much money they have, huh? By how handsome or pretty they are, really? Maybe by the shape of their nose or how many pounds they have or whether or not they have red hair. I know you'd all like to have it, but not everybody can. How does the world judge? By what standard? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't do that? You know how God judges people? By how they live. And by the relationship with Him. Today you'd say, is he a faithful Christian or not? That's how God judges us. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. This went down to the depth of my soul. So, I mean, he says, now, I get it. In the end of the chapter, he says, I get it. I mean, I almost fell, I almost slipped, but now I get it. What do you get? Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was like a beast, like an animal before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by thy right hand. Can you remember when you were little and you would walk with one of your parents in a crowded place and your parent would reach down and hold you? We have a mother here, and I won't say her name, but I saw her yesterday with one of her little boys, and she had his hand this way, but this hand was around his wrist, and that's how they were walking. He wasn't going nowhere. She had him. You remember when you were little and how it felt in a place that made you a little uneasy to have a hold of your daddy's hand or your mama's hand and know that, you know what, everything's okay, maybe you squeeze a little tighter? That's the analogy here. You know what? We're going to hold God's hand and we're never going to turn loose. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. I know what I'm going to do. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in life, but I know this. If I'll be a Christian, Romans 8 and 28, if I will be a faithful Christian, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. I know that while not everything in my life is going to be easy, not everything in my life is going to be good, and some things aren't going to be for my good, but I know that ultimately God is going to work everything out for my benefit, for my good. And you know what that is? It's glory. I tell you what it is that we're going to go to heaven, Christians. Is that this life is sometimes going to be difficult, but I can't give up. I can never give up. I've got to hold to God's unchanging hand. 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? What have you got in this life on which you can truly depend? What do you have? To what can you point and say, this isn't going to change? No, I'm not being pessimistic. This is realism. What do you have in this life that you can point to and say, that's always going to remain the same? Sometimes we'll sing a song in which it's found the words, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. You know, it means that things change. They just change. But you know what is not going to change? God is not going to change. Whom, 25, have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You may face a time in your life when you become very discouraged. And you may face a time in life when the world seems pretty impressive. And at times like that, I hope you'll open the old book and read Psalm 73 and that you'll think about that. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who wants to become a Christian. Repent of your sins and confess His sweet name tonight and we'll baptize you into Christ. If you need to come back, I mean if you have gone the wrong direction and it's time to return, you want to come back home again and you want to call God your Father again in prayer and have that open, wonderful relationship with Him, and you need to be restored, why, we'll be happy to pray with you and for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing. We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.